You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, hello. This is Brooke Devard, and you're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I have been so inspired by my podcast guests lately because they're all so different. And you all know I'm very picky about founders that I speak to on this podcast because I really only want to speak to founders that have a different point of view, that are doing something truly innovative in the beauty space. And I think Jen Harper, who you all are going to hear from Cheekbone Beauty, is incredible. She's so special, and she's doing something really transformative for her community. So Jen has indigenous ancestry from her father being from the Ojibwe Nation. But what we talk about in this episode is beauty as this vehicle for healing generational trauma in her community and for healing generational trauma in her actual family. If you remember my episode from Thanksgiving, I was able to get into more detail about America's history with the indigenous people that were here before Columbus quote-unquote discovered America. But Canada also has a very disturbing history when it comes to Native people. The Canadian Indian Residential School System was this network of boarding schools for indigenous people that affected hundreds and thousands of kids and families. We talk about this really important history within the episode. Jen is thinking really intentionally about how beauty can heal and transform us. And she goes into detail about the natural ingredients that they use, about really sourcing sustainable ingredients for their products, and also having sustainable packaging. I have been absolutely loving their concealer pencils, and I love the idea that like you use it until it's done. There is nothing left behind, and more companies really need to be intentional about sustainability in a real way and really honor the land and honor the environment. I love that all of the product names pay homage to her indigenous ancestry. And I also think we're always thinking about ways to support indigenous causes, but she has this built into her company DNA and her company profit structure. So you can buy an incredible new lip gloss, an incredible new lipstick, a great mascara, and still be supporting these communities. One of the things that motivates Jen's work is indigenous representation in the beauty industry. So here's a quote that she gave from an article I read before I had the chance to interview. She said, "I never wanted another indigenous youth to feel the way I did growing up, not seeing people like me in the media. I also wanted to weave concepts of indigenous wisdom with Western science to create high-quality, sustainable products that help both people and the planet." In indigenous culture, success is not defined by one person's accomplishments, but by what one person does for their community. I think that's such a beautiful and important message. It's really about community care. You all are in for such a treat with this conversation with Jen and her beauty journey and her personal journey and what it means to create a business like this. This is a company that has my support for as long as I'm buying beauty products, and I know you all are going to really enjoy this conversation. Okay, let's get into it. You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, Solon logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hi, Jen. Welcome to Naked Beauty. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and excited to meet you.
Are you joining us from Ontario today?
Yes, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Okay. Is it freezing cold?
I think it's just at freezing. Earlier it was when I went out for my walk this morning. It usually warms up a tad bit, but our weather is very much New York-ish.
I need to spend more time in Canada. The last time I went was for skiing in Whistler.
Oh, wow.
Which was great. And I actually went to an incredible Indigenous museum while I was there. And I learned a lot, which was very eye-opening to me. Like, beautiful ski resort, to see what had happened on the grounds of that ski resort before was not as nice of a story. But we'll get into all of that. I'm so excited to talk to you because you are one of the founders in the beauty landscape that really stands out to me. One, from a historical perspective, you are the first Indigenous-owned and founded cosmetics company. Is that correct?
I know we say that, but I don't know if I was the first. I think I was the first to maybe make it as quote-unquote like successful as we did when we dove in. There was other smaller brands that were playing in the color space, but definitely the first. I will own the fact that I think in terms of sustainability and being true to our Indigenous roots of making things with the planet in mind and everything that comes from nature, that we really are the first to pay attention and think really thoughtfully about what we're using, how we're using it, and how we can continually give back in this concept of regenerative sourcing and practices versus just extractive.
Yes, that's so important. And having that mission to give back is also incredibly important. And I know it's important to you. I want to hear about how you grew up and what your relationship to beauty was growing up.
I grew up with my single mom mostly. Like, when my parents were together until I was about two, they separated. But I remember fond memories of like my mom's drugstore CoverGirl palettes and makeups. And for me, it always had that distinct smell. It had a like slight Noxzema scent in that powder. And I remember putting those two things together, but I've always been like a bit of a product junkie. Like, I love beauty. And even as a little girl, like going down the aisles of the drugstore and touching and feeling everything and wanting to explore and understand how they got that lip smacker gooey gloss with that ball in there, and just loving it and almost wanting to eat some of those sometimes. But those are like, I just loved the beauty aisle. And yeah, to this day, I'm a skincare fiend. Like, I am obsessed. I'll try everything and love it all.
I definitely relate to that. And we have to get into your skincare routine. I'm curious what beauty rituals you observed in your family.
So my mom's not Indigenous, and she was just the classic, I think, soap and water person, which blows me away now because I'm so not that, but very simple, very basic. And always like really natural. I remember a jar of coconut oil beside my mom's sink since I was a child. And I know that those were things that maybe weren't talked about so much back then. But my mom's always been super natural. Like, everything had to be sourced well. And she was always thinking about where things came from. My mom lives in Nova Scotia in Canada, and it is a very rural community. And I'll go out with her on the land, and I call her like a pioneer woman, because she can pick out a plant and tell you what it does and what little berries and things you can eat off these plants. And I'm amazed, because those are things that I am not as well versed in. And I just love that she's taught me so much about plants and what we can use and put on our skin. And literally remember growing up, and there was always an aloe plant in our house. And if something happened, cut, scrape, that's what my mom would have been grabbing first. So grew up with a real sense of natural products and natural ingredients surrounded by that, for sure.
He was very much ahead of the curve. What about your dad's side of the family?
So I didn't get to spend as much time with my dad's side of the family. He lived in Toronto and we lived about an hour outside the city when I was a young girl, and I would come and visit him. So he was very much like an urban native, which we now call like urban natives. And it's so interesting to me. I remember this vividly. I was 14 when he called and said that he was moving back to the reservation, because I was like, my dad was like the city guy, and I literally separated parents, but taking the Greyhound, which is like the old school bus system that would come from our little town in the Niagara region and ship me up here to the city every other weekend to come visit and hang out with my dad. When I did spend time with him, it was really neat because it was very community-based. Like, him and my stepmother were very involved in our Native community in the Toronto area. She worked for like the Native Women's Resource Center. And so even I had lived with them. I think I was in grade 6 at the time. I came and lived with them for about a year. And I remember even like our daycare was like a Native run daycare. It was very community based. And I could see the difference now looking back. And like, my dad heavily relied on our culture and our community, even when he lived in the urban setting. And so I just have fond memories of learning different things from him. And then it's interesting, I didn't know as a teen what he was trying to teach me, because I remember being 12 or 13 when I lived with him. And I would be going out onto the land with him, which would be like in Toronto, that would be like a little park forest area, because it is an urban setting. But after a meal, which we generally call a feast in our culture, you're taking your leftovers and or you're taking a plate that you were putting aside and you're going out and you're burying it back in the land. And I remember stuff like that now, or the over the last few years when he and I reconciled our relationship, because big backstory is at 19, I decided to part ways with my dad for unfortunate reasons. And those were fond memories I had when I started to think about why I needed to reconnect with them and how it would be healing for me. But that was definitely one of them. And him sharing pieces of our culture, whether it was a pouch with what Indigenous or Ojibwe people call their medicines and things like that, he gave me as a teen that I didn't really understand or respect back then. I didn't know what that meant for him to hand those things off to me and what he was trying to teach me until I was an adult. But I think I'm not the only one that will profess the things we learn from our parents sometimes come later in life. And I have teens now, and hoping that comes back for me as well one day.
Yes. That experience of being on a reservation and seeing the power of community, I'm sure, has also informed you as you think about creating a small brand in a real sense of community. I spent some time in an Indigenous community near Southampton in New York. How much is done in community together, whether that's learning, going hunting, walking the fields, sharing stories, always coming together. There's so much that can be gained from communal living and coming together as a community.
Yeah, I think we're learning too, like science, we're learning that how much that matters to us as human beings, that connection. And you can see how different cultures really live and breathe that. And you can see how that really informs who we become the closer you are connected to your own communities, and how important it is when we're raising our families.
You've talked about the dream that led you to creating Cheekbone. Can you share that dream with the Naked Beauty audience?
Yeah, for sure. So this is not your traditional path into the beauty space. Like, I know so many founders I meet, and they were like an executive or like one of the large conglomerates or worked for this brand. I feel really out of place when I'm sharing my story, because I was like, yeah, I had a literal dream back in 2015, and it was January. And I just vividly remember waking up middle of the night, pop out of bed. And all I can remember in my mind from that dream was Native little girls. There was three of them covered in lip gloss. Or now I'm like, when I thought about it deeper, I was like, how did I know that was lip? When you get all analytical with yourself, it was like, but it was lip gloss. I woke up, grabbed my laptop, and I remember writing down, I was like, okay, this is this is like a business plan. We could figure out how to create a product. And at the time, that was just this lip gloss. And what I wanted to do was this idea of using a portion of profits to do something to support my Indigenous community. What I always tell everyone is you have to hear the sort of the next half of the backstory, because it's really important to who has a dream like this and just sets off and decides that's what they're going to start a beauty brand. When I was selling seafood at the time, so my whole career, I had been in the food industry. But the year prior, in November 26, 2014, like 2 months before having this dream, really, I got sober. I had actually battled alcoholism for many years, kept it a secret for a really long time. But I knew it was affecting my family, my work, and I knew I had to make a change. And gratefully, after a few years battling this, privately went into rehab, relapsed, and then finally got sober for good on that date, and so proud of that. But at also in 2015 and around this time, I had no idea about what we call residential or boarding schools. And so in Canada, our government was actually working on this project called the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. So I'm just learning about this stuff in 2014 and slowly learning that both of my grandparents, my dad's parents, he's 100% Ojibwe, they survived this residential school system. And I used to just sit and think my family was just this oddly dysfunctional. I couldn't understand why we had so many struggles with addiction and violence, and finding this information out was like just this incredible aha moment. Because one, I was like, oh, it's almost like you have an answer to why you feel like you have these problems in your life. And it gave me pause, because I feel like once we know, then we can heal. And I felt like once I know, I can do something about that. And learning more about my grandmother's story, Emily Paul, she went to a residential school from, she was at 6 years old when they took her from our family's community. And she lived there till she was 16. But I remember meeting her as a young person and very loving and very kind. But then my mom or my dad would explain stories, and there was just so much violence and anger within our family, and addiction in particular. And then now I had the reason, like this poor woman, what she had to live through, it is atrocious and it's an atrocity. And I think now understanding that, okay, that's what happened. And me having an addiction, losing a brother to suicide shortly before launching Cheekbone, just recognizing, thank you. It's as painful as it is, it's literally been the driving force behind what kept me working on this business, just because I really saw that. I'm like, oh, wow, like my people, my family really needed to see some kind of change or triumph or something. And I felt, okay, if I could live through this and share my story and my journey, and then meeting so many other people much like me who have the same history, all really trying to survive and not just survive this. I guess what's really important is that we're actually showing people we can thrive despite past traumas and change narratives. And that's what I felt like in those early, I was like, this is okay, this is what we can do with this brand. As crazy as that sounds, it's like we're selling lip gloss, but wanting to do so much more. And in those early days, the idea of using a portion of profits, it was for Cheekbone, it was this idea of a scholarship fund. It was like, what could help kids thrive? We all know education can support somebody's plans or dreams to create a better life for themselves. And so that was one of the reasons why we launched that. And the, just seeing the importance of giving an opportunity to someone who might not have one, and understanding that the playing fields were not level for reasons, and they're still not. It was like just using a brand or a business to do good in the world. If I had to have a job, let me figure out how to make one that I love doing.
Yes. And also your point about that your people needed to see some kind of triumph. That's so powerful. I want to go back to these boarding schools, these assimilation schools, because as I was on this lovely ski holiday in Whistler, oh, it's so beautiful, Canada, so nice. I think about American history and how dark it is. I think growing up in America, you become, especially as a Black person, you're very aware of slavery. And I think now the education system has done a much better job of teaching you about what we subjected Indigenous people to in this country. When it came to Canada, I was actually not aware of these assimilation schools and just the sheer number of people who were just legally not even allowed to speak their language, not allowed to pass tradition on. And I remember going through that whole exhibit and just sitting in silence, so taken aback that, one, I was not aware of this history and what the ripple effects of robbing people from their culture really are. I would love if you could speak more about this particular part of Canadian history, because I don't think a lot of people know about it.
Yeah, we've just started to talk about this in Canada. I think it was my kids, they've started to learn when they were in elementary school the truth about Canadian history, because I remember we learned about First People when they lived in teepees and this is what they did, right? It was very lovely. And then when you learn the truth, you're like, whoa, that's not really what happened. So Canada is much like many countries that have colonization as their roots, are to the best of their abilities in some cases, educating people on what really happened, because we're seeing how the negative impacts have affected an entire group of people, which we know if that many people are affected by something, we can see the results. One of the major negative impacts, that a stat that I'm well aware of in Canada, incarcerated, the levels of Indigenous people in Canadian jails is like well above 50%. So wow. We only make up 5% of the population, but in Canadian prisons, it's well over 50% of the people in prison are Indigenous.
And that is insane.
And you look at how did that happen? We have violence and abuse and addiction in our communities. And then that's how people end up in the system. And the child, like, it's all starts at, like, the child welfare system is messed, like all of the systems are messed up, but it really all stems from this residential school. And so this was designed by essentially church and state, funded by the government, to pay the churches to really assimilate us into a more European way of living. And it's because the idea that we were unruly and savages, although we were living very happily on North American lands long before anyone got here. And these schools are also in the United States. So in Canada, we call them residential schools. In the United States, they're called boarding schools. And what has happened over the last few years is we're discovering even more, this is even more atrocious than I think some of us might have thought at the time, but we knew as Indigenous communities that there was Indigenous children that went missing and no one ever heard from them again. They're like, so my grandmother came out of the school. So my great grandmother is okay. My daughter's back here now. I know she's still living. Many people that didn't happen to. And what was most recent was this discovery of children's bodies in unmarked graves around all of these residential schools. And I know in the United States, I think it was in Pennsylvania recently, they had found like a numerous amount of children's bodies in unmarked graves around a boarding school that was there as well. And so these systems all played out. But then what you learn is if you go over to Australia, the same thing happened. And it's like this repeat of colonization. Don't want to name countries, but we know that there's one in particular that this was obviously their system, right? This is how we do it. Let's go conquer. Okay, these are the people that are there. We have to remove them. This is how we're going to do it. So it's crazy, but this is human history. I think it's played out this way for generation after generation. There's always a group of people that want something where another group of people want, and they're going to harm those humans in order to get it. And it's horrible. And I think humanity needs to change in so many serious ways, because this will just continue to go on around the world if we don't.
It's such a grim history. And it's also this cultural erasure that I find so disturbing. I think about how rich the culture is, how distinct the culture is, all of these particular lessons about how to live off of the land and just such a dynamic culture. And then to separate people from that culture, but then also make it so that they're not able to speak their native language. They're not able to be connected to their communities, to their families. It's just such a loss. It's such a loss.
It really is. I remember learning, so my grandmother is probably like 4'11", which is so funny because I'm 5'8", but my daughter is like 5 feet, and she's so, I'm like, you clearly have like my Kukum's genes because you're much shorter than me or mom. When I think about meeting her, it's this feisty personality. And when I learned afterward that when she left that residential school, My entire Ojibwe family that lives on our reservation speaks Anishinaabe Mo'en, which is, we say speak Ojibwe, but the correct term is Anishinaabe Mo'en, the word for the language. They speak that language because she went back and she's like, no, you're not telling me my family's not going to speak mm-hmm. our language, to the point where my uncle Gabe, he teaches Anishinaabe Mo'en at the University of Minnesota. That is his career. Yeah. And a few people in my family have become our indigenous language kind of experts, which I find so powerful and so fascinating because I love teaching indigenous young people and a lot of marginalized young people, find something about your culture that just shows their resiliency and hold on to that with all your might, because that's what's going to get us through these tough times. And when I'm having a rough day, I think about my grandmother and her resiliency. And I'm like, I am still here. This is really hard. Like being in this, like, why would I leave my food industry job to enter this beauty industry? It's so stinking hard some days, but I know the purpose is so much bigger than just beauty. It's beauty on so many levels. And I'm definitely going to keep carrying that resiliency.
That's so beautiful to hear. And I loved hearing Lily Gladstone when she accepted her Golden Globe Award. And she said it wasn't her native language, but it was, what was she speaking?
Blackfeet.
Blackfeet.
And so
yeah.
Her dad is Blackfeet and Nez Perce, I believe, are the two tribal nations that her father is from. And yeah, and her mom, who's not Indigenous, like my mom, but really just fought for that to be taught in their school systems. That's one feature of this loss that we've had. We say that's the Pan term, but then you go back to these individual collective communities and tribes and nations, and everything is similar yet different, right? For so many of us, there's a lot of similarities, and our languages are similar yet different in so many ways too. And those being lost, how that is truly heartbreaking, but there's so many people working so hard to keep that alive and revive it and make sure our history is not fully erased.
I'd love to hear how beauty has helped you personally throughout your life. So often we think of beauty as this superficial thing. Oh, it's a lipstick. Oh, it's a little bit of mascara. But how has beauty served to empower you throughout your life?
Yeah, so getting really personal, when I was struggling with addiction, like you just feel so hopeless some days. And I have to tell you, like getting up in the morning when I was like, have had a relapse and you just feel like garbage and you're like, I can't keep fighting this. It's not working. And to get ready to go to work was just painfully hard, but it is incredible how a little bit of self-care when it comes to beauty, like just motivated me to keep trying. And many days that was tossing on lipstick. I've shared that before, and it does, you just feel a different way. And I know so many of us try to describe this, but you just get such a feeling of empowerment when you feel confident, and whatever that is that makes you feel confident. And for me, that is certainly lipstick and beauty and all of the, even a great pair of shoes or heels. It's just those things that can really level up your confidence and help you fight the day, right? Especially when we have these struggles that people might not know about.
Yes, it's beauty as armor. And I know you use a lot of terminology, warrior, on your site, which I think is so cool. I'd love to hear a little bit more about what Indigenous practices or beauty rituals informed the work you've done on Cheekbone Beauty.
Yeah, so we are definitely, as a people, there is all of those elements of what being natural is and just embracing your true self. But then there's also many nations and tribes where warriors were really important, and they would use rocks and cut it and smash it into a fine powder, and then obviously wet that, and then that became some form of facial paint and what people know as war paint. And so those were things that were empowering with many different tribes. But the elements that came from nature is, I think, where I feel the most connected, and thinking Ojibwe people and cedar, and really how they use cedar in so many medicinal ways. We boil it to make it as a tea to heal lust. And then we also use it in skin ointments and medicines. Like there is a very common practice where you're using, our brand is vegan, so we're not using any bear grease in our products. But that's one thing that was really common within our tribe is using bear fat, which is called bear grease. And you're adding cedar to that and rubbing it on your skin. And of course, it is really nourishing, much like we know a very common, again, non-vegan ingredient, lanolin, right? It's yes. These animal fats and oils that are really nourishing and rich and healing. If we could ever find a way that these things were done ethically, but unfortunately, I don't think in this world that's really hard to manage and navigate. I've looked.
I'm sure. But you know what? It's interesting because I do think on some level, even though it was an animal fat, it was done ethically, right? Because the whole animal was being used, right? There was no part was left unused. So you were using the fur for warmth. You were using the 100%. Animal fat for beauty treatments. That's like as ethical as you can get.
You get down some comment rabbit holes sometimes. So I'm watching what other people are saying, whether it's vegan. And I believe that veganism is really important. I really do believe that personally. But then I think about my culture and many of our different tribes, especially like our people in the north, the Inuit, that is a community that relies heavily on seal and hunting seal. And it was really, truly done in the most sustainable, ethical manner. One, these are like prayers sent up before they actually harm an animal. And for them, it's a gift because that was food that they needed to actually survive. If they did not eat this, they were going to die. And they then used every last bit of that animal. And it was done like based on families and communities, right? It wasn't done in a way where it's mass produced and that these are done through manufacturing practices and systems. So true, completely ethical and sustainable, 100%.
I love learning about the cedarwood tea as well. Are there other skincare or even hair care treatments that you find inspiring?
Yeah. So in connecting with some of our cousins in the South, there is incredible ingredients that are coming from like more the desert climate communities. And it's so interesting. I've done so much research from around the world of what Indigenous communities are using and have used for generations. And wherever you are, they have sourced and discovered the plant and the medicines and have been using this for thousands of years. And it's so funny that we all big businesses and they're making these claims. And I was like, yeah, it's so interesting. If you were to find that tribe or nation that where that plant has been much longer than the business or organization has been around, I'm like, they've been using that forever. Go ask those people. They will tell you the truth and you'll know how to use it properly.
Not they've been using it for thousands of years. And then the kind of introduction of clean beauty as this new thing. Yeah. And then also when people say that clean beauty is whitewashed, that is also a huge erasure of Black, brown, Indigenous communities that have been using these ingredients, again, for centuries.
Yes, I can imagine if we went like to so many different continents, what we would be learning from all of these groups of people. They know far more about it than we do. And it's so interesting. Yeah, it's definitely, I think the big companies are the ones with the money and they have the power, and then their story is the biggest and gets heard the most, right? And that's where I think this idea of being an indie beauty brand and how important it is, like we will be erased, much like our cultures and groups. Indie beauty will get erased if it is not uplifted by the people. Like we have to be the ones here still and trying. But the sad truth is many of us don't come with big, massive capital assets and funding and support. And that's where the community support is so vital. I was thinking about this so deeply as we're watching so many brands close last year. These are hard times. We were built on social media and then in the e-commerce space and grateful for our retail partnerships, but they own you in a sense, like you're at their beck and call and they're the ones that hold the power. And again, these are owned not by Black and Brown communities generally, right? So it is scary, and I'm hopeful, but I know that we had a tough year as a brand, and I know many others' businesses have had to close. And so it's just so critically important that if we're going to be here to support the indie space, I don't want you buying 17 lipsticks and advertising your haul. I just want you to talk about us and share that. That's the biggest, most powerful thing you can do for our brand is tell your friends about it and how much you love it and what's your favorite product and why, not necessarily being the one that's doing all the purchasing, right?
Absolutely. Just being part of that community. But I do want to talk about your products because that sustainability comes through really in everything you create. So not only is everything vegan, but the cream lip and cheek set, having something that can go on your lips and go on your cheeks and even on the eyelid if you want to have like a nice soft wash of color on the eye. I think that's the direction that more beauty brands need to go in. What inspired you to have sustainability as one of the core principles of your brand?
Yeah, so if you know the brand story, we didn't start out that way. I was using what is called like a private white labeler from the beginning because I didn't know. Remember, I was selling fish, but then I was like, looked online. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is easy. When after that dream, I'm like, make a lip gloss. I'm like, I don't have to do that in my kitchen. This person can sell it to me. And I found a supplier actually right here in the Toronto area. We call it the GTA. And I was like, they're so close. And then I went and visited and then saw what they had. I'm like, okay, this will work. Being in the industry, launching literally 3 months in, people are like, where does the mica come from? And then I'm like, oh my goodness, this is where you're like, some people have no business being in the beauty industry. I feel like I've earned the spot now. But when I look back, hindsight, I was like, wow, not just anyone should start anything. There's so many things you need to know when we were thinking about compliance and regulatory and how, oh my goodness, in the e-commerce world, it really does feel like the Wild West where anyone can do and sell anything and say anything and make all these claims. In the real world, absolutely not. Can you do those things? Especially if you're a much larger brand, you can see why they have massive legal teams. I found it, this supplier, it felt very simple to do that. But again, a couple months in, and it was literally a year later where I was like, there's no way we are growing. There's an audience and an appetite for this brand, but this is not going to be the cheekbone that makes it. I just knew it in my heart. And I knew I have no money. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And 6 months later, I ended up meeting these gentlemen that were starting the first ever Indigenous-led social impact fund, BCs basically, but they were a bit different because they were like, we want to invest in companies that are really making a social impact. And from the beginning, Cheekbone Beauty, we've given back and donated and supported many causes that support Indigenous youth. Like, we've always done that regardless. And we're 6 years in, and we are still just trying to break even and scratch profitability. We're not there yet. Like, it's been a tough road, but our giving back has always been there. Like, we've given almost $350,000 in kind donations and scholarships in our scholarship fund, which is something that I was like, and in my head, so here's how I think about that. I'm like, okay, you're breaking even, but you still get to do this good work. We're all making a living wage. That to me is a business. It's still a good business.
Oh,
stakeholders,
absolutely.
On the other hand, don't love that because they want bigger profits and all those sorts of things. And I think my whole idea and mission around this is that we know that will come, but first you have to build the thing that's going to get the people to come. And for real, like, it can't be like a flash in the pan business where, oh yeah, I'm going to do this because it's a socially led thing. No, it has to be, this is like long term. And I read the founder of Patagonia's book like a couple years ago, which I was like, okay,
leader.
Unbelievable. And just so aligned with Indigenous values too. I was like, is this guy, like, he really spoke to my heart for sure. But I was thinking, it's a long game. This is long. And I had to wrap my mind around that. No, if we're really building this and want this to have legs and be real, when I think of Patagonia, when I think of other brands, they knew that you got to try these things, and it's going to be costly when you're focusing on things like sustainability, but these are what really matters. And the community you're building as you're building will grow with you. And it's a slow build, but that's where it's all worth it.
And that's how you make it last. But people also love your products. I'd love to hear from you some of your best sellers and the products that people come up to you and tell you, okay, this is like my new favorite XYZ. What are the things that people are loving from Cheekbone Beauty?
So we were a lips first brand. So we still get, I have this lipstick. And then we have, like, within our community, our names are really related and we try to really incorporate culturally in our naming conventions, our ingredient sort of product and development planning, our lipstick collection, this Disdain Bullet lipstick. Everyone knows that was the first one that we were like, we made this formulation. We designed the packaging. Like, this was like after we left the whole white label world, like these are, this is the, that was the first one we built. Colors like Aki, which is a red with a blue base undertone, which really looks great on so many skin tones. That is, people talk about it and love it. Then our, like,
just for the listeners, it is a beautiful red. It is $29. The Sustain lipstick. I think that is like a definite add to cart for me.
And then Sweetgrass lip gloss, as I was talking about earlier, lip gloss was the original dream. That was one of the first products. And when we recreated Sweetgrass lip gloss, I'm wearing it right now. And it's just like a great everyday, it feels like a lip treatment. It's not sticky or tacky like a traditional gloss. It's just got all of the features that you would want in just a great lip treatment. And all of the shades are beautiful. The red one is fire and it's super pigmented. But okay, the hero, which is the product that I know when you fall in love with, you're never going to leave, is our Unify Multi Pencil. So this is our take on replacing full coverage foundation, and it can conceal and it can cover up and it can contour and it can highlight. It can do multiple things. It can, the deeper tones can act as a matte eyeshadow. Like, these pencils, they're called multi and they're multifaceted, but they literally leave your skin feeling like you have nothing on it. It's just your skin, but better. And all of the experts, I'm not a makeup artist, but I feel like I'm in that space and world now because all I do is play with makeup all day long, is this idea of having a product that is really blendable, but it's this concept of that our skin has to be seen. Nobody wants to see your foundation. Nobody ever. And in 2024, I think this is the year where we're ending that. The girlies that are like the no makeup and the days of the full cakey face, that is really gone this year. And you can see the whole makeup artist community, even on red carpet, nobody is full face. They're doing like light touch-ups. Think of like Pamela Anderson, like icon, and like so no many makeup. People Alicia Keys, like people are doing the no makeup thing. So as minimal as possible. And this product does a great job. Like, I struggle with sunspots. And so I literally just touch those up. We have a small brush, which is a makeup artist trick that is perfect for blending these kinds of products and foundations. And stick eyeshadow is going to be the new next big thing. Everybody's launched one. We launched ours in 2021. And we know Fenty just launched one and everyone's talking about it, and because they're so easy, it's a pencil.
I just want to pause on the method of a pencil. It's so much more sustainable, which is also something that I've been learning. All of this
wood
plastic, yes, a wood pencil, right? All of this plastic packaging, it's just not necessary.
So not necessary. Like, this disappears, completely disappears. All of our caps are made from, it's the only area where there has to be plastic, and this is PCR. So that is already lived a life. So there's no need for any brand to use virgin plastic at all anymore. And every brand should be using second life plastic if they're going to use it or have to use it. That should be table stakes for sure. I think even Sephora, Ulta, they should ban virgin plastic, period. That's obviously my extreme opinion on plastic, because the one thing we do know about plastic is it's never going anywhere. Like, it's a chemical creation that happens that will never disappear, and our planet will struggle with that forever.
Yep, that's absolutely true. But this, I feel like, one, I've been using concealer as foundation. Like, I feel like I've been ahead of the curve because I find a concealer I like and I just like put that all over my face where I need it.
That's all I need to do.
What I love about this Unify Multi Pencil is you can do your contour in darker shades. You can do highlight. You could probably get, what, 3 of these colors and do your entire face.
Totally, full face. And we always, what we love to do is reward anyone who creates like a bundle. So that's a constant just happening on our website all the time. And literally 3 pencils, and that'll take you through all the seasons too, right? Because you have like your summer set and then use the deeper ones for contouring or vice versa. But yeah, no, great. I'm obsessed with them. We're launching more shades. And I always like to tell everyone, I'm like, we started with 9, because if you're in this industry and you know anything about foundation, it's probably the hardest, or complexion, let's just say that category, it would be the hardest for any brand to accomplish. I remember just listening to a podcast with Makeup by Mario was the guest, and he was saying they didn't do foundation for quite some time because it's so expensive. And I was like, okay, that's Makeup by Mario saying that. So hopefully people understand our broke little brand. We started with 9. We have more coming. It's just obviously those things take time and dollars. And so we know by next year, we will have additional shades in this pencil collection. And we're really excited to fill out a little bit more robust end. But what we love is that with this 9, if there is no perfect match for you, we can guarantee that there's a blend, like there's a blend right in there that you can find. And they're so inexpensive. They're like $20.
Yes. I love how accessible your price point is as well. Talk to me about the mattifying moon dust, because I find that finding talc-free powders that work is a challenge.
Yeah, agreed. And we were blown away when our partner helped us with this formulation because it turned out beautifully. It just sets everything. We struggle as a natural brand because most of our products are 98% naturally derived ingredients. So that's for everything in our lineup. And what came with that is the whole concept of long wear or waterproof, right? You're not going to get that by using naturally derived ingredients, which was really a struggle. So this moon dust was a solve for any sort of issues people were having with our eyeshadow pencils. So this will literally set, and now you can use it for our multi pencils. You can use it as any kind of translucent setting powder. This stuff will set your makeup. You can put it on at 7 in the morning and it's going to last you well until past midnight. And I do it, I'll take like the cobalt blue and do a cute, I don't do great eyeshadow looks. That's not my thing, but I love doing like different graphic lines with the pencils, and I'll use an angled brush. And then I take a little bit of the setting powder and put it on top. That is on my lid for an entire day and into the evening. It's all just about the setting powder. And if I'm having an extra oily day sometimes, which is generally the summer, I feel like when you're maybe sweating a little bit more, I actually put setting powder underneath and then the line and then the setting powder on top. And it's solid.
I have never in all of my years thought to set my liner with setting powder, but that makes so much sense.
And you won't get the raccoony thing happening. Your mascara doesn't do that. And I love, where was it? I was using it earlier. Like a small tapered brush. It's my favorite tool. It's how I apply the multi pencils as my foundation. But it's also how I just take a little bit using that small tapered brush and I put that around my eye as well.
Okay, I'm inspired for when I do my makeup later today. I'd love to hear what some of your favorite products are to pamper your skin.
I have so many. A repurchase, which is crazy because now I feel like from TikTok, I'm like, am I a 12-year-old girl, Drunk Elephant? I love their peptide moisturizer and their serum with the blue cap. I'm always trying to remember the names of all of their stuff.
I think the blue cap one is is it Hydra something?
Yes.
The moisturizing one?
Yes.
And then the peptide, is it the polypeptide?
Green top, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Proteini, I think it's called.
Yes. Love
that great moisturizer.
I've bought it multiple times, and that's rare for skincare for me. So they're a great product that I absolutely love. And I'm just trying out right now for the last couple of weeks, which I'm fallen in love with. I feel like my skin feels bouncier. The Outset, so Scarlett Johansson and Kate Foster's brand.
How is it?
I am loving it. I am absolutely loving it. I feel like my skin always feels extra dry and weird in the winter as the winter approached. And I've been using it and I love with the serum and the moisturizer afterwards when you get that like bouncy feel and you're like, oh, okay, I love it. That's back, right? It's been doing that. So I'm in love with it. And one thing, I don't know if they have it, and we can't get it in Canada yet. So I had to go into the US, but I wonder if they have a face spray because any sort of face mist, I love the skincare routine. And then throughout the day, I will have a mister in my car, on my desk.
Yes.
I don't know if it's an aging thing, but I'm so about just like, I need moisture on my skin.
Hydration. I just got a great facial mist from May Lindstrom. Do you know this brand? It's all natural. It's like this beautiful jasmine facial mist. Tata Harper used to be like my favorite facial mist, but this has now replaced that for me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Really,
I gotta
good.
Try it.
I'll and send you a link.
You're right. There is like a, like when there's a hint of scent, like just the right amount, right? It's very soothing. I think it's like a wellness thing for me too. I love a face. Like I feel like a break at the desk. I'm just like, oh, okay. That was a wellness moment.
Absolutely. Are there any hair care brands or fragrances you're loving right now?
I love, the brand is called AG. I think they're available at Ulta in the United States. And I'm using their apple cider shampoo and conditioner. And I really like how it makes my head feel really clean. I don't know if that's, I'm the worst at describing hair stuff because I've never been in the hair industry, but sometimes some shampoo and conditioners don't make my hair feel like it's like clean enough. I like my scalp to feel like squeaky clean. I'm a bit of a clean freak in life. So maybe that's why. And I wash my hair once a week. So like that wash to me now is so important, which is crazy because it's amazing how little shampoo I go through.
You just need like a tiny bit. Otherwise you're like stripping your hair. Are there other indigenous beauty brands that we should be aware of?
Yes, there is a few. So I love a brand called Squalene Skincare.
Hey.
So they're called Squalene Botanicals. It's by a founder named Lee Joseph. And so she is from the West Coast of Canada and she's a botanist by like her educational basis. So she literally, if you want to like who understands and knows plants. And so for in connection with her like tribal and nation, she truly understands the land where her people, like I just love listening to her talk about plants. I could listen to her. She reminds me of my mom, like listening to that for hours of this love and admiration for plants and what they can do. And it's a beautiful skincare line. I know they just did a rebrand. And so I didn't get any of their new stuff yet, but it's on my list as soon as my outset stuff is out to give her new rebranded stuff a try. But face oil, what's the name of her face oil? But it's incredible, like incredible
okay,
face oil.
I'll find it.
Yeah. It's
S-K-A-L-W-E-N.
I believe that's how you spell squalene. Our indigenous words are challenging. And if you have any eczema issues, another indigenous brand is called Satya Organics, and it is a treatment. And she came out this year with almost like a very much like our primer stick, but with an eczema treatment. So it's in the stick form. Take it in your purse. If you have any patches, it's an incredible product and it's all natural. And she was a mom of a child who had eczema and literally made this in her crock pot. It's an incredible brand. And my daughter, when she was like 7, 8, really struggled with bad eczema in her like elbow area. And I remember getting her one and then she's the cutest little thing because she'd be like 8, 9, 10 and just going to her dad, reorder my skincare, like her little... she would run out of her little Satya sticks. So she'd be like, I need a reorder, but she used it and it would heal her up. And then I think seasonally, especially for eczema sufferers, it comes back certain times of the year worse than others, but she actually hasn't had it in years. I don't know if it was an age thing or the product that has helped her heal.
Yeah, some people age out of eczema, which I think is also really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's nice.
In your work, in your mission, in giving back to Indigenous communities and young people, what have you found to be the thing that sustains you? Because it's not easy work that you're doing. What keeps you going?
Oh my gosh, what a wonderful question. Losing my brother, and I will giggle and then I'll be like, oh, BJ, why do you have to say that to me? Before he died, we were together in May and he passed away in September. And that May, I finally had a name for the brand and we were really getting started. And he was like just so blown away about this idea of a brand that was going to give a portion of profits. He'd never heard anything like that. And we're driving through, it's called Lake of the Woods in Ontario, it goes into Canada. Our reservation's almost on the border of Minnesota. So we're in that part of North America. It's just so green and there's water and it's so beautiful. And he said to me, he's like, man, he's like, see all these resorts because it's loaded with gorgeous fishing lodges. And he's like, not one of them is owned by a native person. And this is all our land. Mm-hmm. And so what keeps me going is to know one day that, you know, in retirement for me, if I get to buy a place in that territory, I will do it in honor of my brother.
Oh, that's so beautiful, Jen. Thank you so much for sharing that with me and with our listeners. Final question for you is, when do you feel most beautiful?
When do I feel most beautiful? I feel the most beautiful after, I don't know, when you get to take care of your skin. So say you get to do your nighttime bedtime routine and I'm going to bed and I pop on my glasses and I start to read. I just feel so beautiful and comfy in my bed there.
Yes, and clean and moisturized and, and just like ready for sleep. It's the best. Yeah,
I love it.
I love that. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you and hear about your incredible brand and the business that you're building. And I'm just excited to see where Cheekbone Beauty grows and evolves from here.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been amazing talking with you.
All right, beauties, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I enjoyed talking to Jen and getting to know her. And I'm also going to be looking out for Cheekbone Beauty products at the Oscars, kind of getting ready. I did see that Blake Lively's makeup artist used the Unify Multi Pencil for Blake Lively's Super Bowl look, but that is one of my favorite products. So it's called the Unify Multi Pencil. And actually, when Jen was talking to me about it during the episode, she was like, you know, we're still working on expanding the shade range. I did not know if this product was going to work for me, but let me just tell you, this is one of the best concealer complexion products that I have, and it could not be easier. You basically just like draw it on your face. You can draw a contour, you can draw a highlight. I have shade 7, which is their deep. I have shade 8, and I have shade 9, which I use for contour. And this is for people that want like undetectable makeup that really does conceal. The other product I love the lip products. The lip products are truly phenomenal. The Sustain lipstick, the color that I really love, and I hate to butcher the pronunciation of it, so I'm just going to spell it, O-O-X-O-R. That's the color, O-O-X-O-R. It's kind of like this rich brown color. It glides on the lips. It has this like moisturizing shea butter that kind of cushions your lips. It's this rich velvety color. This is truly one of my favorite lipsticks. And I love that you can buy refills, right? So you buy the lipstick once and then you can just buy refills. So you're not having to get new packaging every single time. Again, I want more companies to think like this as they're developing products. The other product that I really want to shout out is the Empower Eyeliner. It is such a just like rich, graphic, smudge-proof liner. The Uplift Mascara is also phenomenal. The lip gloss is great. The blush really took me by surprise. The blush is gorgeous. Let me give you the exact name of the blush. The Balance Blush Bronzer. There's fair, medium, and deep. And I have the medium, which is like this bright, bright pink with this kind of like cool brown. And I kind of blend the two together and I put it on my upper kind of cheekbones. And it's just like such a pretty blush. And again, the ingredients are so intentional. It features a botanical powder cornstarch that's derived from organic corn that gives this kind of matte appearance, but feels really luxurious on your skin. Those are my favorites. I will link to all of the products in the description, but I hope you loved this episode and stay tuned. Make sure you're subscribed. Every Monday, a new episode, and we have some very, very exciting episodes coming out. I can't wait for you all to hear them. Today's episode was produced and edited by Mbie Kasanga. Make sure you are following Naked Beauty Planet on Instagram. You can follow me at Brooke Devard, and you can shop all of the episodes from my Shop My Shelf. If you love Naked Beauty and the programming and the conversations that we're having, please take the time to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the show. Appreciate your support so, so much, and we'll talk soon.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.